Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The United Nations has accused China of serious human rights violations in a long-awaited report into allegations of abuse in the Xinjiang province, home of the Uyghurs. Beijing called the report a farce arranged by Western powers, but UN investigators say they found credible evidence of torture and crimes against humanity. Mary Peltola, a Democrat former state lawmaker, won a special election to fill Alaska's only U.S. House of Representatives seat. She will also become the first Alaska native to represent the state in Congress.
Well, just a tremendous sense of gratitude and appreciation for the people who've put trust in me to fill out the remainder of Congressman Young's term. He's represented Alaska very well for the last 49 years, and it's just a tremendous honor.
Visit us online at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
President Trump's legal team claimed Wednesday the FBI should have expected to find sensitive documents during the raid of his Florida estate last month. They say all presidents have them after they leave office. Trump team is accusing the people that run the FBI and Department of Justice of political bias. Trump's request for a special master to review all documents will be decided today by a Florida judge. Back in the 1950s, nearly half of all Americans smoked cigarettes. Now, more people are smoking the ganja.
A new poll shows Americans are smoking more marijuana than cigarettes. The Gallup poll released Tuesday shows 16% of people surveyed said they smoke Reaper compared to 11% who said they smoke cigarettes. 48% said they tried marijuana at some point in their lives. Cigarette smoking has been trending down for decades. The current 11% figure compares to 45% in the mid-1950s. For the USA Radio News Gulf Coast Bureau, I'm Tony Maruso.
USA Radio News.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
A brush fire in Southern California exploded to 3,000 acres within 7 hours on Wednesday, triggering evacuations and shutting down a section of Interstate 5 in both directions near Castaic. That's about 40 miles northwest of Los Angeles. The Route fire started just after 12 o'clock noon. One person has been taken to the hospital, and no buildings have been damaged as of Wednesday afternoon. Pennsylvania Republican gubernatorial nominee Doug Mastriano blasted President Biden's trip to his state, telling Newsmax on Wednesday that Biden has nothing to offer Pennsylvania residents but name-calling.
Meanwhile, the economy is on its heels. Inflation is through the roof. People can't make ends meet. Gas prices are still ridiculous, even though they've dropped a couple cents here and there. And Joe Biden wants to come out here and call the opposition names. It seems like the only Republicans he likes are those that are his lapdogs, you know. Pennsylvania is sick and tired of this garbage, and I'm not hiding from Donald Trump, unlike, of course, Fetterman, who didn't show up. He's a no-show to many of these events. You know, we remember back to the days Donald Trump was in charge. We had a great economy. Gas was cheap, and you were able to make ends meet here. And we're watching the decline of America economically. Pennsylvania holds the key because we're literally on a gold mine here. And so under my administration, we're going to unleash the energy potential of our state here. And help not only our citizens, but our nation to get back on its feet.
I'm Lance Pry, and we are USA Radio News.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. That's 800-562-2407. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com is where you want to go. Joshua Phillip is with us, an award-winning investigative reporter with Epoch Times and host of Epoch TV's Crossroads program, a recognized expert on unrestricted warfare, asymmetrical hybrid warfare, subversion, and historical perspectives on today's issues. Joshua, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, real pleasure being here. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations on the real story of January 6th. What a service you have done, certainly for our listeners and others who are interested in the whole truth and nothing but regarding January the 6th.
Yeah, well, someone had to do it. I mean, you know, one thing we were having was a lot of new evidence come in that I think the public had not seen. And so, you know, the original idea of the documentary was just to basically take this video evidence and put it in one place so people could go watch it. But as that process developed, of course, we came across more and more information and then realized we had a much bigger story in our hands. So we did something, I think, more complete, really making an effort to show that the whole story, what happened that day.
It's kind of like if you build it, they'll come, right? I mean, you know, now all of a sudden there's a canvas in which you can utilize to use different colors and to paint with, and you've afforded the audience that opportunity, because everything about January the 6th clearly has been a one-sided affair and one-sided narrative, and especially when you hear that there's something like 14, I've heard now the revised version, 16,000 hours of video that we have not seen. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then you watch what the January 6th committee hearing is doing, and you realize that we're being gamed in this whole process. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out, does it?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, one of the ideas is this. The big problem we have when it comes to understanding January 6th is, well, I think most conservatives at this point, you know, and maybe some on the left too, understand that pretty much the thing looks very suspicious. A lot of them have not seen strong enough evidence to really, I think, show them what really happened that day. And as you mentioned too, there's, I mean, if you were to sit down and watch the evidence that's available, like if you were to go to like the court system and just watch it all, it would take you about 3 years. And a lot of lawyers I've spoken to, they say that the evidence they're being given by the Department of Justice is a tsunami of lies, like it's a tsunami of garbage,
wow,
how they frame it.
Right.
Because they're not giving them the real exculpatory evidence, and the key evidence that would be exculpatory that proves the innocence of the people they're defending. It oftentimes has key stuff omitted. For example, the audio might be omitted where the individual is saying, hey, I'm here to help you, I'm here to help you, and things like that.
Exactly.
As you mentioned, there's a lot of footage that people have not been shown. And even worse than that, even those who do have it, you can't post it on YouTube. You can't post it online without risking getting your channel deleted. So there's a big black box out there, and I think people need to be able to access it.
Joshua, as you were putting this and the team was putting this together, and knowing how anything you say about January, just like you just said, you're going to get canceled in an instant, all this other stuff, I mean, as everybody is going through this and assembling all this information, I mean, did it kind of make you nervous with, you know, you got one side, as some experts have said, you know, you got the tsunami of lies that have been out there and this narrative that's already formed, and you're pulling the thread of truth on all this, and you're thinking, oh, my God, what is going on here? I mean, I can only imagine what must have gone through your mind as you are, you know, you're starting to go into, you know, this evidence that people aren't hearing about. And you're going, oh, okay, now this is starting to make sense.
A bit. So two sides with that. On the censorship front, they've already censored me enough on, like, YouTube and so on that they can't do a whole lot more to me. I'm lucky in that we have our own platform. We have Epic TV, Epoch TV, which they can't censor that. The other side.
All right, no, wait. Hang on a second. Let me interrupt you for just a second, okay? Because this is what happens sometimes. Some people say Epoch, others say Epic. Is it Epic, Epoch, Tomato, Tomato? What you know? Clear it up for us. What is it supposed to be?
So the technical American pronunciation is Epic. But if you want to speak the Queen's English, you want to sound fancy, Commonwealth country, Epoch. But sometimes we say Epoch just for the sake of people typing it right.
Yeah, just because you happen to be afternoon high tea, and so you got to say Epoch. I get it. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sophisticated, you know what I mean?
Sorry, a little sidebar, because now that really clears it up and why, you know, because I've had even a couple of friends. I go, I know, I hear that. I go, you know, it's Epic Times. No, it's Epoch and, you know, whatever. And so, okay, all right. Now we can go to sleep at night, and there's peace in the Middle East. All right, let's pick it up there. Sorry for the sidebar. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, so one side of it is the idea that they could cancel me online. And they've already canceled me enough that I don't really care too much at this point.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's not personal, right?
Yeah. The other side of it, though, is like, you know, political persecution or actual threats, because you are dealing with people who, I mean, I don't like to think like this, but it does appear that our justice system is becoming politicized in the United States.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think this is becoming just a real part of the normal political discussion. And so there's also that concern. And so, you know, as I went about it, though, I just made sure that everything could hold up in court. We don't step out, you know, the documentary we did, The Real Story of January 6th, we don't step outside of anything that cannot be proven. And so we do approach it with a good deal of caution, although I do think that based on the evidence we have, we're still able to be probably stronger than anybody has been like this on a documentary yet, because we have very good evidence.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you addressed the Ashley Babbitt shooting, which heretofore barely want to touch on it. It's just, you know, here you've got a former Air Force veteran going through a window. I mean, just on the face, as you consider, I mean, here's a Capitol police officer who, first of all, his identity was hidden. They didn't want to talk about it. But regardless of that, you've got a police officer sending around downrange into a crowd. What did you think was going to happen? I mean, and that bullet even went by other Capitol police officers. And then afterwards, when we finally find out who this Capitol Police officer was that fired the round, he is heralded as some sort of hero. And this just doesn't, for anybody, I mean, anybody that's involved in exercising their Second Amendment right, that have their own concealed carry license, they know on its face this is a bad shoot.
Yeah, and we show some interesting evidence on that as well, including evidence that there was a second gunman, although it's not clear whether the individual fired his firearm. But it's a weird behavior. You can see it in the video footage. Then an officer behind Officer Byrd, Lieutenant Byrd, pulls out his pistol, and it looks like, based on the footage, it looks like he covers the grip of his pistol with a handkerchief. And I've asked officers, like, why you would do that. They're like, well, you'd do that if you were committing a crime and you didn't want your fingerprints there. But I don't know what the guy's intention was, but it was strange behavior. But as you mentioned, exactly. too, like there were a lot of gaps with that. In fact, we brought on Stan Kefart as an analyst. And Stan Kefart, he's like...
Okay, I'll tell you, I want to talk about Stan. This is really brilliant stuff in having him on. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Joshua after this. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the home security hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as a dollar a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. That's 800-584-2518.
America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Joshua Phillip is with us. He is the investigative reporter. He narrated the real story of January the 6th that you can see at Epic Times. The link there, Joshua, how can people pull up the real story of January 6th?
They can go to epochtv.com, EPOCHTV.com.
Okay, before the break, you brought up Stan Kepper, and this was tough. I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, he's a use of force expert, and what he brought to the narrative here, or to the report, was quite revealing.
Well, you know, Stan, yeah, I mean, he's, if you look at court databases, he's the number one guy that courts will call in to testify on police use of force. And, you know, as we did this documentary, that was kind of one of the ideas. We wanted to have something strong enough that it could actually stand up in court if anybody wanted to use it legally, or if we had ourselves had to try to defend legally, you know, putting this whole thing together. Stan Kephart assesses a lot of things, one of them being the shooting and killing of Ashley Babbitt by Officer Byrd. He calls it a murder. He says, I mean, Officer Byrd should face criminal charges and should stand in front of a jury for murder. And, you know, not only the killing of Ashley Babbitt we show, but we also show the death of the three other individuals that day. Four individuals died total. I know people say five or six. It's absolute lies. Yeah. Five people did not die. Six people did not die. Four people died. All of them were protesters. No officer died that day. But we have evidence suggesting that the other three people who died, in addition to Ashley Babbitt, may have been killed either as a direct result or as a contributing factor from violations of use of force by the police that day.
Yeah, it's when Stan Kephart addresses use of force, I mean, it makes you wonder how maltrained the Capitol Police and the D.C. police were in handling situations like this. I mean, it was like they panicked. There was nothing by the book, it seems like, you know, firing explosives, you know, into the air, as he said. It wasn't about, you know, about dispersing the crowd. It was about punishing the crowd. I mean, they already, I mean, this is a pretty scary thought. When you have that kind of power and lethal force in the hands of law enforcement to disdain, you know, any kind of rule of law and the proper use of force. I mean, these are things that police officers are trained constantly under. This is why some police are in jail, is because they violated use of force. And here it is on full display on this January 6th riot, if you want to call it that. And they're just getting away with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, generally, I'm very supportive of police, but that doesn't mean that I believe they can just violate the law. You know, I think
exactly.
Most officers,
I'm with you,
are very good on that. I don't think this is by any means like a broader, despite how it's been framed, I don't believe it's that broad of an issue as people have made it out to be. But the officers on January 6th, D.C. Metro.
But if you ignore it, the only problem is, though, Joshua, if you ignore it, it can be. You know, this is something, when it raises its ugly head, you've got to lop it off quick. You've got to really, you know, you have got to be forceful in holding the line. It's unacceptable. And here it is, because of political reasons, you're ameliorating this thing and you're trying to justify it. So guess what? The people out in the streets get it and they get ticked and then they lose respect for law and order. And now they're going in and they're figuring, okay, so what? I mean, they're shooting us. We're going to shoot them. I mean, that's absurd and that's scary. And that's civil disorder at a level that is, It shouldn't be recognizable in this country, but we're starting to see glimpses of it.
And I'd argue that's kind of what happened on January 6th. The police were flagrantly violating the law, like it didn't exist. They were violating use of force left and right. They were agitating the crowd left and right. They were not doing their normal job of trying to disperse or arrest the crowd. Which could even constitute entrapment on that note, given how aggressively they were just using munitions and, you know, basically beating people and harming people in terrible ways. Even we have video footage of this officer who, like, almost like that movie 300 where the Spartans just kick this guy into a pit.
Right.
An officer pushes a guy 20 feet off a wall and the guy's carried off a stretcher. I mean, horrible stuff like this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and look at, you know, the one gal that got trampled.
Oh, you know, that'd be Roseanne Boylan. Yeah.
Roseanne Boylan. Yeah, exactly. So, this is all heartbreaking stuff. But really, what comes to mind again regarding the political sentiment here? I mean, you are in D.C. Let's face it, about 95% of the population is liberal. They're pro Democrat. They don't get this conservative expression. So,
yeah.
Of the police force, of the D.C. police, and that my question would be, how many of them are, just in a general sense, how many of them are anti-conservatism to such a degree? And we know this, that this kind of mindset can happen. It happens in the military all the time. The reason that you go after people is you dehumanize them, and then it doesn't matter if you kill them. I mean, this happens in war all the time. And so, you know, I guess what you're saying and what I've seen from the documentary here is the dehumanization of conservatism and conservatives. And so it's like, okay, and here it is. And when it gets to this point, you've got exactly the response that we saw on January the 6th. Is that fair?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's exactly what happened. And if you look at the, I think, again, flagrant use of violence, the really unjustified uses of force, and frankly, crimes committed by D.C. Metro and Capitol Police, yeah, you can see that in practice. Absolutely.
And Joshua, what about the political prisoners? I mean, you've got people been in jail for over a year, and how many in solitary confinement? People have no concept of this. I mean, I was talking to Paul Manafort, and he was talking about how he was being held in solitary confinement. I said, Paul, you know, I'm claustrophobic. It would be the end of my mind to be in solitary confinement in that kind of situation. He goes, yeah, I am too. And it does take you to the end of yourself. I said, wow. And here you got these young people. Go ahead.
This needs to be investigated as a human rights abuse, frankly. I've been reading Rape of the Mind by Merleau, and also some older books on menticide, which is, you know, the killing of the mind. And you can look at how documented cases on how communist systems in the past and the Nazis used methods almost to the T, exactly like what's happening to these January 6 prisoners, with the intent of making them admit to crimes they did not commit so they can frame political narratives and then use that politically. This is almost to the T a repeat of what happened with the Nazis and the burning of the Reichstag building, which, again, they framed the Dutchmen for that, even though the Nazis themselves had done it, and then got the man to admit to a crime he didn't commit by torturing him in very similar ways to these January 6th protesters, torturing them mentally. This is menticide, the torturing and killing of the mind, to make them, again, admit to crimes they didn't commit. And you see people saying they admitted to crimes they didn't commit already.
Exactly. Well, case in point, Matt Perna, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and killed himself, of course, because he was facing 20 years, I think. Was going to get 7 years in prison, something like that.
Yeah, typical stuff that happens with law enforcement that you hear about. I mean, we've had others, you know, Jerome Corsi that I've spoken with, and, you know, the threats that they put on him, what they did to, you know, General Flynn, and attacking his son. They were going to go after his son. I mean, all this stuff, it is out of control. We've got about 50 seconds left here, Joshua. And, just summarize, summarize the documentary for people, remind them where they can go and link up and see it for themselves. You guys did a great job, by the way. Congratulations on it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, so the documentary is The Real Story of January 6th, and you can find it on Epoch TV, EPOCHTV.com. And, yeah, you know, we aim to give people the evidence they need to fully understand what took place that day and the laws that were violated.
I'll tell you, this is where your time can be used more valuably as opposed to watching the January 6th committee hearing. You've got to see this documentary for yourself. Joshua Phillip, award-winning investigative reporter with Epoch Times. Thank you, Joshua. Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you.
If your refrigerator, your washer, your dryer, or any other major appliance in your home breaks right now, do you have an extra $1,000 laying around to fix it or buy a new one? And hey, that's on the low end.
Wouldn't you rather spend a dollar a day and make sure all the major appliances in your home are guaranteed to be fixed or replaced? Then call the Home Service Club right now for a free quote and a free month. Trust us, any major appliance in your home is guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You could spend a dollar a day and have the peace of mind and the coverage for all your major appliances. Or you could be prepared to shell out thousands of dollars or more without protection. So call right now and get a free quote and a free month. Call right now.
800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. That's 800-238-9153.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The United Nations has accused China of serious human rights violations in a long-awaited report into allegations of abuse in the Xinjiang province, home of the Uyghurs. Beijing called the report a farce arranged by Western powers, but UN investigators say they found credible evidence of torture and crimes against humanity. Mary Peltola, a Democrat former state lawmaker, won a special election to fill Alaska's only U.S. House of Representatives seat. She will also become the first Alaska native to represent the state in Congress.
Well, just a tremendous sense of gratitude and appreciation for the people who have put trust in me to fill out the remainder of Congressman Young's term. He's represented Alaska very well for the last 49 years, and it's just a tremendous honor.
Visit us online at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You tuned in to Bill Martinez. We're coming to you live Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. For some that may be listening to us on a delayed broadcast over the weekend, welcome. You now know how you can tune in live at BillMartinezShow.com, and we come to you every day, as I said, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. With us right now is Dr. Wilford Riley. We've got a lot to catch up on with the happy professor. Hey, Will, how you doing?
Pretty good, Bill. Glad to be on the show.
Hey, always good to have you on. I know we got you up early, so appreciate you coming on to talk about you know, what everybody's heads are exploding over, this announcement, this executive order that Joe Biden announced for tuition forgiveness. You know, who do you see as the winners and losers in this whole thing?
Well, I mean, I see this as what an old coach of mine who also coached them wrestling used to call kayfabe, kind of a fancy fake stunt. Mm-hmm. The problem with what Joe Biden's doing is that it's openly unconstitutional. And I mean, I think under a lot of Democratic and even Republican administrations, we've seen some moves that were questionable. But my understanding of this kind of thing, I mean, a major legislative package that affects the schools, is that it's totally legislative. That means Congress has to do it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, my expectation would be, I don't know whether the state of Florida is going to bring this, or, you know, an educational union of some kind, maybe National Association of Scholars, the conservative profs. But that's not my area of expertise. But I would imagine that someone is going to sue to stop this almost immediately. So I think the goal here is kind of strategic. I mean, Joe Biden gets to stand up and say, you know, I am the good kind of left-leaning leader that took your debt away, took away $10,000 worth of debt from everyone with a student loan package. But, you know, the Republicans or the academics or, you know, the courts, everyone loves to criticize the courts, took that from you. So I think that this strategic that it's being presented as being. I don't think Biden thinks that the government's actually going to spend $500 billion getting rid of a good chunk of student loan debt. I don't see that as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if anything, it kind of makes you wonder, in terms of the cost of tuition, who kind of set this whole boondoggle up to begin with? I mean, the government decided to get involved in dealing with the cost of education, and all it's done is increase the cost of education. So, in other words, here they come in, they start the fire, and then Joe Biden comes with a fire hose and says, look at me, I'm putting it out.
Well, I mean, that for the listeners, I think your audience almost all knows that already, but that's what inflation is. I mean, inflation is too much money chasing too few goods. So generally, if you go into a set marketplace where people are already competing, I mean, you had a ton of colleges before the modern student loan era, and you say, we're going to subsidize the purchase of whatever the thing is in that sector. If the government does that or a coalition of big businesses does that, what happens is that the players in that sector then increase the price to match the subsidy. I mean, that's
exactly
a rule in an economics textbook. So,
right.
I mean, not to get too far afield, but we just saw this with electric cars. I mean, again, the bike.
I was going to say, that is a great example. You're reading my mind. Go ahead and finish that.
Great minds think alike, Bill, but no, it's a situation where the Biden administration, and some Republicans support this as well, honestly, they gave, I think it's a $7,500 proposed grant to anyone who wants to go out and buy an EV, buy one of these electric vehicles, which, by the way, are just powered by coal for the next 20 years. But if you want to make that gesture, they were going to give you close to $10,000. What happened is that the major electronic vehicle manufacturers, I know Tesla, GM, maybe Ford, all increased the price of an electric vehicle by between $6,200 and $8,500 within days of this coming out for various made-up reasons. That's what inflation is. They knew people had $8,000 more. So they said, okay, well, I mean, we'll give you a little of that, but we're going to charge you $7,000 more for one of these vehicles. And you're going to see the same effect in every field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is how this is playing out. And like you said, Will, our audience has, the lights have been on for a long time. They're getting this. They're just shocked that there's no end to it. It just keeps, stupid just keeps on happening here. And, boy, I'll tell you, if we can't get a hold of this government and return it into the rightful hands, as Donald Trump said, rightful hands of the American people, we the people, I mean, we're our economy, the very core of who we are, and this American idea is all in jeopardy, Will, the way I look at it. And I don't mean to sound so dire, but, at every turn, the working class American is getting pummeled. And as if that's not enough, let's hire 85,000 IRS agents to torment you even more so. And they come not just with a number two Ticonderoga pencil and their computer aided software. They've got guns and ammo. They are empowered in ways that you can't even imagine, and you won't until you come face to face with one of these knuckleheads that is happy to utilize his pistola and his bullets.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you watch that IRS training video that Thomas Massey from down here dropped, where you've got, I mean, like the guy in the carbon fiber wheelchair and some number of elderly women and so on. I mean, the people struggling to use guns, and that's pretty representative. That was one of the elite training sessions for incoming IRS folks, as I recall. I mean, I will say IRS agents aren't exactly trained to the level of Navy SEALs or even an FBI G-man. I think that's mostly going to be some paper gangsterism. But the basic idea that it should be pretty nonpartisan, that you don't want to increase the size of the tax man's agency by 100,000 people, I mean, is clear to me. I'm not sure who the target audience is for a doubling in the size of the IRS.
Well, anybody that makes less than $70,000, I mean, that's the low-hanging fruit. They're not going to go after. I mean, they tell Biden, says, well, we're going to go after those wealthy people. I mean, they got a battalion of attorneys. Do you think IRS agents want to go in and tangle with a battalion of attorneys? They're going to get their heads handed to them. No, they'll go in just like the way this whole thing started. They told everybody, oh, we're going after that top 1%. Those nasty people are making all that money, so they deserve to pay taxes, and everybody everybody else said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the next year they said, man, that was brutal. We're going to go after the 99. They're much easier to go after.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. The biggest predictor of being audited is being poor. I read that in the business text once when I was subbing in a class in that field. Couldn't believe it. Looked it up. It's absolutely true. If you look at where audits are concentrated, you're talking about, quote-unquote, redneck and black counties in the South where people might make some mistake on the filing form for, like, their barbecue business. That's when the G-men come in. It's not – and these aren't necessarily small businesses. But I mean, you're talking about, like, Gates Barbecue in Kansas City was involved in one of these cases. If you're in that $80,000 to $400,000 range or maybe a little less because there are five or six family members making up that figure – that's when you really have to worry about the IRS. And in fact, even below that, if you make a mistake on your paperwork, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't anywhere close to 200,000 billionaires in the USA. So if you double the size of that revenue collection agency, and every one of 200,000 agents is expected to pursue 10 to 20 cases a year, let's say, you're looking at millions of fairly ordinary people. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if somebody who's doing pretty well who leaves right to get audited. I mean, I'm knock on wood. But that is what's very likely to happen. And your broader point there, though, is fairly important. When you said the government spending is dull, you know, we're talking about the IRS. People don't really think about this. But this is almost an existential problem for the USA. This could destroy the country. That's absolutely correct. Like, we're in a lot of very bad debt right now. Like, ex-girlfriend has the credit card level stuff. We're $28 trillion in debt currently, though. So when people start talking about all this stuff, like reparations, you know, I oppose as a conservative guy. I can see the pitch as a black guy. You can debate it. But the big problem is the reparations would cost $4 trillion. We don't have $4 trillion. We don't have any money. We're at negative $28
trillion. And counting. Yeah, this is amazing. Ex-girlfriend has a credit card. That's hysterical. I mean, you did cancel the credit card, right?
Well, if I were in that situation, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm... That's my recommendation, too. Number one thing, ex-girlfriend has a credit
card.
We cancel the credit card. We just got to figure out how to cancel the credit card from this government. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think we both just made that joke. And that is... I think we've gotten used to this. Really a series of administrations. I mean, this started with Bush and Obama working together to end the Great Recession. Obama really taking that into like 2010, well after the recession was over.
Don't get me started. We got to go to break. Let's go quick.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Do you love driving, but you hate your expensive car payment? Open Road Lending can reduce your current car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. Yes, it's easy to refinance your current car payment and save up to $100 a month. Could you use an extra $100 a month? Then make this call to Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your current car payment. It's easy, only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. You can do it all from the comfort of your home. Call today and see how much you can save.
800-511-6223. 800-511-6223. That's 800-511-6223. Call now. 800-511-6223.
Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details.
Thank you. Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
People can catch COVID-19 from someone in their household. Dr. Fabian Sandoval is president and CEO of the Emerson Clinical Research Institute.
There's a continuing need to investigate new therapies to help reduce the risk of spreading COVID-19 in addition to improving diversity in clinical trials.
If you're an unvaccinated adult and you live with someone who is symptomatic and tested positive for COVID-19 in the past 5 days, you may be able to join a clinical study evaluating whether an investigational oral treatment could help prevent the spread of COVID-19 within households. Participants will receive study-related care at no cost and may receive reimbursement for study-related time and travel. To learn more, visit COVIDMoveAhead.com. This clinical study is sponsored by Merck Sharp and Dohme Corp., a subsidiary of Merck & Co., Inc.
Hey, we're back with you. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. We're just talking with the professor offline here, and we're talking about, the one-party state of California, and we're looking at the numbers, how it's so dominated by the Democrats. And, for some reason, I remember the number 5, but that's not even a correct number as far as Republicans that are in the state legislature of California, because they've just overwhelmed the state in such a way, the Golden State, and that's why it's become the Uniparty. Of 120 legislators, 40 senators, 80 in the assembly, you got 31 that are Democrats, only 9 Republicans. You talk about a supermajority. And in the assembly, you've got the breakdown is 60 Democrats, 19 Republican, and a lone independent. So it's not even a fair fight, Will. I mean, it's anybody that wants to represent a conservative viewpoint, I mean, forget it. The power of Governor Newsom and the Democrats is so overwhelming that the state is beside itself, although it's starting to, wake up a bit, because look what happened in the Bay Area, where you had that the school board that turned, I think, in a matter of weeks. The liberals there, just said, no, we're not going to buy into this CRT. This is a mess. We're going to take back our school board. So they've made a move. I think San Diego's also making a move. So there are some bright spots there, but we'll see what happens. But I don't know that California, if they have the capability and the structure enough, to ever come back, sadly.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, one of the things that we see in my own kind of conservative opinion aside, I mean, this is not controversial in political science. What we're seeing right now is called mutual polarization, and it's especially stark on the left. So traditionally in the past, when you talk about a conservative district, like a South Dakota farming district, you mean that the Republican would beat the Democrat, who himself would be someone who'd worked in the unions and mining or something like that, a normal American, by about 10 points. Now you're regularly seeing blue and red districts where the candidate that is from the party popular in that state wins by 30 or wins by 50. I mean, you recently saw Liz Cheney, what was basically a Democrat versus Republican race, lose by 37 percentage points. So that's happening more nationally. There are a lot of things that have to do with that, from kind of the great sort and where people live to this very partisan media like MSNBC, OAN, so on down the line, kind of shaping opinions that people have. Mm-hmm. So that's a reality. I also think in California specifically, you kind of schooled me on this a little bit offline, but you have to talk about these techniques that are being used, like modern ballot harvesting.
Right.
Where you see these election operatives. I mean, the classic example of this actually came from Ilhan Omar's country up there in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. When you see election operatives posting videos of themselves in an SUV with 600 ballots in it, that's not an exaggeration. You can legally, in some states, mostly blue states, go door to door in something like a Somali immigrant community and ask to help people fill out their ballot and then take all those ballots to something like a drop box. This was actually the one argument against 2,000 mules, which is so crazy that it's worth thinking about a little bit, but which is technically valid. The argument is, well, we don't know if those were stolen votes because there's no legal limit in many places on the number of votes you can go around and pick up. So that's the kind of thing that tends to swing Orange County from, you know, red to blue. But yeah, yes. Just that polarization in general is increasing. And it's increasing at the same time that the political parties are spending a lot more. So you now have that lesson, but you now have that situation where if you lose an election, you might see someone like Biden just do package after package. I mean, quote unquote, COVID relief, Green New Deal, inflation reduction, student loan bailouts. And at the end of that, we're, you know, $8 trillion more in debt. And then your team tries again the next time in another polarized race.
Yeah. And, you know, the problem that we have here, Will, is that we're not learning, you know, from this. I mean, from one administration to the next. I mean, the idea is that hopefully from the lessons that you have, you know, from the previous administration, that you would learn and be able to go forward. But what happens because of, you know, you and I have discussed this before, because of the siloed nature of the political process and where we are right now, nobody's talking to one another. And so now you got Joe Biden coming on and he's reinventing the wheel. And wait a minute, this is just absolute idiocy that's taking place. I mean, things that we learned under Donald Trump, I thought we learned a lot of good things, that we could be energy independent, that we could secure our border and it could be win-win for everybody, even the immigrants coming in, that they could be properly serviced and taken care of. Middle East peace was about ready to break out. International security was in fair hands. But no, because of the ideology and the divide between the two parties or such, is like, you know, the Democrats and Joe Biden can't even begin to consider any good thing that was done previously. And I mean, any business professor, anybody with any kind of business chops would tell you that you don't fix something that's not broken, that you enhance the things that are working and you de-emphasize and then try to do the best you can to remedy. And it's tough to do it in 4 years. I get it, especially with this type of government in which is that we operate in. But I think it's for good reason. But if we're not learning from the previous administration to advance it to the next one and we're starting all over again, I mean, we're idiots.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, actually. And it's kind of a wonky one that you can dig into for a while. But just very basically, I mean, what you said is correct, that if you're governing by executive order in this time of extreme polarization, what you're going to have is a risk that every incoming president is going to undo what the previous president did. And I mean, since we both slant a bit to the right, I mean, let's look at Biden and then Trump. Well, you could do this with any two presidents. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Donald Trump, you know, interesting guy, had some antics. But in terms of, say, immigration, the basic Trump ideas, remain in Mexico. Let's consider building a border wall. We're going to be really harsh on these, quote unquote, asylum claims, these fake asylum claims from people from countries like Mexico and Guatemala and Poland. There's not a war going on there, Bill. So, I mean, he had these immigration ideas, and a lot of them were done by presidential fiat, because these days it's very hard to get something through the Senate with that 60-plus filibuster-proof majority.
Right.
So that means that as soon as Joe Biden comes in, he can undo all this stuff. I mean, I know he took out Remain in Mexico.
Yes, right.
Remain in Mexico obviously was a joint U.S.-Mexican policy where if you're migrating, if you're in one of these caravans, quote-unquote, you're coming north, you're going to encounter Mexican or even U.S. soldiers, basically, at some point in Mexico, and your, quote, asylum claim is going to be processed there. So with that undone and with building stopped on, you know, what could have been the wall, although Trump, quite frankly, didn't build a wall either, but you now have that flood of guys that you used to have just coming to the border. If no one stops you in another country, if there's no wall at the border, that means you walk into the country and you encounter La Migra, Migration Services.
Right.
So that's the result not of an unchangeable historical force, which is the way immigration's often talked about in the Times or the Post. That's the result of a specific politician undoing a specific policy. And, I mean, the same thing's going to happen to Joe Biden. I mean, many, many Biden initiatives have been similarly performed via executive order or via some kind of trickery in the House. And when, I mean, we've seen the power of the courts plays a role, too. I mean, Roe is just overturned. But when DeSantis comes in, all of that's going to be removed. That creates what's called a perverse incentive where you try to spend as much as possible because you're not taking that money back while you're in office. So, like, Biden's accomplishments, when you talk about them, they're not things of the Bush or even Obama variety, like, you know, won the Iraq War or something like that. They're essentially just spending initiatives. Like, if you ask Joe Biden what he's done, the few times he takes questions from the press, he'll say things like Inflation Reduction Act. Like, the goal is to spend as much money as possible to get initiatives started before you're ushered out of office. And I think that's true across the political spectrum.
And meanwhile, he's leaving us bankrupt. I want to switch gears here. We got about 2.5 minutes left, Will, if it's okay. Regarding, you know, this tweet that you put out regarding the most high-profile recent U.S. and U.K. narratives of racial conflict that have turned out to be largely or entirely falsified. Break that down for our audience, if you would. 2 minutes left.
Well, yeah, so I wrote a book called Hate Crime Hoax, as you know. I think you were one of the reviewers for this book.
Yes.
But I made the basic point that most of these high-profile narratives, not like every case of fist fight at a club or something, but these high-profile narratives of racial conflict, I mean, Jussie Smollett, Erica Thomas, Covington Catholic, Yasmin Saweed, you know, the terrible attack at Air Force Academy, so on, almost all of them, and this is even true for some of the stuff on the right, like the Obama campaign worker who claimed McCain workers beat her up as, you know, a left-wing biracial woman, all of them turned out to be fake. I mean, Bubba Wallace, sorry, who had the noose in his NASCAR.
Yeah. Yes.
But every one of, like, the top 20 turned out to be a fake. And so I wrote about this, and I asked, why is this? Well, the book's still available on Amazon, but why does this keep happening? And I came up with a whole bunch of theories. We're rewarding victimization. What prompted that tweet was that this just happened twice more. So, I mean, about a year ago in Canada, there was a mass rioting because of this claim that one of what are called the native residential schools, which took Indian and sometimes poor white trappers' kids, and maybe the schools were a little harsh, but kind of raised them in that Catholic tradition. Now, this was a thing that went on to about the 1970s. But the claim was that one of the schools had been kind of isolated, and they'd basically been killing kids. The 200 bodies had been found in a mass grave. And it was some horror movie stuff, and there were riots and some attacks on the church, because we all know what's happened with priests before and so on. But the problem was that it didn't happen. The entire claim was based on one left-leaning scientist surveying the grounds of the school and saying that there were 200 disturbances under the ground. But when I and other people started talking to friends in our academic departments that use this technology, it's called LIDAR, or it's called ground scanning radar, we found out that those disturbances were probably just rocks and tree roots. It's almost impossible there were 200 people buried there. There had only been 40 kids that died in the whole history of the school. That's too many, but there weren't hundreds of kids hidden somewhere.
Exactly. Got to leave it right there, Will. Dr. Wilfred Riley, thank you.
My name is Stephen Huer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from 2 mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
The final phase of extermination.